The epistle appointed to be read for this, the second Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, Christ has suffered for us, leaving you an example that you may follow in his steps. Who did not sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but yielded himself to him who judged him unjustly. Who himself bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to justice. And by his stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep. But the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, first of all, I think in some places this Sunday is referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday because, of course, of the gospel just read. There will be a catechism class this morning, and this afternoon, of course, there will be Vespers. Tomorrow is the celebration for us here, our own, for the dedication of this church, which happened 12 years ago on this day. So we've been in this church now 12 years, thanks be to God. And of course, we will have Mass and intention office, all that tomorrow. Wednesday of this week is the Feast of St. Mark. Now, there is a peculiarity about this particular day. It is also called Rogation Day. Now, Rogation Day was celebrated long before the Feast of St. Mark came to be observed. And as you will find out from reading the bulletin today, that the rogation part of the day originated because of the pagan observance that was going on at the time. Now the Christians, just getting established, but not sufficiently well enough at that time yet, could not talk down the pagan atmosphere of the times. But yet they were permitted to exist by that time. And what they did, the Christians did, they knew very well where the pagans would have, would be the source, the beginning point of a procession which the pagans observed. Mankind likes processions. We have processions for everything. We call them parades today. But we love to get into a procession from somewhere, from somehow, for some reason. So it goes all the way back, and the pagans knew this, and the pagans observed their processions. They also burnt a sheep, and they did all kinds of things. They were honoring their god of frost on that day. Well, the Christians said, we can't join them, we can't put them down, so what we will do, we will have a procession also. So they proceeded to have a procession. And that too is where, if you will notice in your missal, especially during Lent, you will notice that at the beginning of the Mass of each day during Lent, you will see Collectio Sancti somebody, you know, collect or collect at some particular church this morning, St. Sabina or St. Lawrence or St. Paul's outside the walls or somebody. The people would collect at that church. That's where the word collect comes from in the Mass. The first oration at Mass is a collect, it is called. And so then the Christians found a church that was closest to where the pagans would start off. And they set off their own procession, side by side almost, that of the parallel to the procession of the pagans. And so that's where Rogation comes in. Now we will also observe Rogation on the 3 days prior to Ascension Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We will have a procession here Wednesday. We will go out. It will be after the 6 o'clock Mass for those of you that are nearby and wish to attend here for the procession, which will follow the 6 o'clock Mass. And the Litany of the Saints will be prayed. Now, Rogation has always been a prayer, a special prayer, particularly in the springtime, for protection and blessing of Almighty God, for crops. Today, how many of you in here, or who of you in here, is raising crops? Who of you in here is an official farmer today? Oh, you may have a garden which has a couple of tomato plants like ourselves. Are we farmers? No. So what are we praying for? Are we praying for the multitudinous, humongous farms that today are owned by corporation? Well, it's not wrong to pray for their success, perhaps, but that doesn't concern us. So what are we praying for? What is our crop? Our crop, my dear people, our crop, our crop is the blessing of Almighty God. Upon your children. That's your crop. Your prayer, your crop, is a blessing of Almighty God upon us, who, because we have chosen that which is true and correct. Again, please understand what, when I use the word us, who us is. or who us are, whichever is grammatically correct. Who is us? Just the ones in this room right now? No, not at all. But those of us who have chosen and selected and committed ourselves to the truth, that Almighty God will bless us, and that we will not be living in a vacuum, as some people say we live in. And to a certain extent, they are correct, because a vacuum has been created in our world of total immorality, of total ungodliness, of our church, blessed be God, of our church, that we read and heard read the description of the shepherd this morning. We speak of no one. We criticize no one. We make no name, mention of name of no one. But the sheep today, too many, are in the hands of hirelings. And that is most unfortunate. Our blessed Lord said the day will come we will have one flock and one shepherd. Well, we must pray for that. Come Rogation Day, we must pray for that. As we see it, this is not likely. As we see it. But as Jesus Christ sees it, then so be it. Who will be in the one flock? Only he knows. Not us. Who will be judged correct to be in the one flock? Only he knows. Not us. And as we, the sheep, who claim to be the sheep, who call ourselves the sheep willing to follow the master, the shepherd, what are we supposed to be doing? We, the sheep. My beloved people, also in today's bulletin, there is on the front page of it a lesson. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Only God, only the Spirit of God can renew the face of this earth. We might somehow, sometimes consider ourselves capable of doing this of our own and on our own. But only God can renew the face of the earth. But does that mean that we go off at a distance and find ourselves a nice shady tree and sit under the tree and enjoy the beauty of all that is around us? My beloved people, if the Holy Spirit of God is ever to renew the face of the earth, we you. By your sincerity, by your commitment, by your honesty, by your humility, by yours, ours, too, by your prayer, by your example, by your goodness, by your holiness, that you are the instruments, we are the instruments through which the Spirit of God will enter the face of the earth. We were taught that 2 weeks ago. But on that fearful day, he was absolutely debased to the lowest possible level. But he conquered. He was victorious. And to that very last instant did the enemy hold his head up high, still thinking that he was going to be victorious. But he wasn't. And at that last moment when the head bowed, the enemy had to flee in disgrace. Of course, that doesn't mean that the enemy stopped his activity at that moment. No, indeed. The enemy started really to go at work. He was going to find every possible way and has used every possible way to regain his command of things and to be finally victorious. I have already long since told you or mentioned to you that the day is upon us when the enemy is going to use his last possible chance to swing his frightful tail about and to sweep as many as possible off of the face of the earth and to bring them unto himself. My beloved people, that will never happen to those of us, whoever we are and wherever we are, who are humble and good and sincere and honest and truthful and prayerful. That will never happen to those of us who can be described in that way, because such ones are indeed his children. Such ones are indeed the sheep. We will be the ones who will know his voice when he cries out to us and calls out to us, and we will follow. We will know. We will know the voice of the shepherd, the true shepherd, the one shepherd. We will know that voice. And he will know us. And together, he will lead us through this quagmire that all of us are in. We don't like to hear that. We'd like to look at the glorious, whatever it is, it's glorious, that we consider it classified glorious. But deep down, we know what it is that is going on around and about us. Our faith, my beloved people, this might sound a little bit radical. Our Lord did not say, when I come back, will I find the Mass amongst the people? Our Lord did not say that. Our Lord said, will I find faith, any faith, amongst the people? It is our faith that keeps, now listen, it is our faith that will make the Mass, as far as we know, that will make the Mass available. But it is our faith, the Mass, my dear people, as such, will not get any of us to heaven. As such, understand that statement, please. The Mass will not get me to heaven if I myself am not working to make the Mass fruitful in me. The world will not be saved unless and until the world will make the Spirit of God fruitful in the world. And that depends on the individuals, collectively or individually, who really want to be saved. How can Almighty God save anyone who says blatantly, I do not want any part of that saving that you're talking about? Have you not heard this yourselves with your own ears from time to time and from many others? You have heard this. I will have no part of that foolishness. I will have no part of that superstition. I will have no part of that lie that has been spread about all these centuries and has fooled the people. You have heard this. I am not telling you something you haven't heard. And so as we look at the sheep this morning, and look at the shepherd this morning, and look at the hireling this morning, let us see what we must be about. Our prayer. Somehow, dear people, we have got to learn. I will say, leave the word we. Because I think sometimes you might separate those of us from those of you. My dear people, we're all the same. But somehow or other, we, advisedly, must learn how to make prayer our central concern. We must learn how to make prayer our first obligation of the day. Now, how can you do it as now we come to a little bit of difference? How can you do it as opposed to those of us whose business it is, whose business prayer is? And so our whole day, our work, our job site is the church. Yours is not the church as such. That's why I advise so strongly on the little home chapels. Not that that should become a part of another movement that people are saying now, we will stay home and alone. No, 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 no. How can you pray? My dear people, you do not have to be on your knees all day long. You have got to get up tomorrow morning. And you have got to go to the marketplace. And you have got to put up with whatever the marketplace has to offer as its golden gem for that particular day. You have got to experience the foul air of the marketplace. And you say, how can I pray in this condition of foul air? You can pray there. You can pray. You can pray going down the streets. You can pray while those, your work hands next to you, are using all of the foul that is possible for man to use today. You can pray. We here, I don't want to use the marketplace, I said, but our place of work is the church. We know the conditions that you have to labor under. We are well aware of that. And so when we come to our place of work, which is the church, you can know that we are doing our part here and taking up the slack that you unavoidably have to put up with. That's our work here. And we do this, we must do this, we ourselves must learn to do it with the same kind of love and the same kind of commitment that was put forth by none other than Jesus Christ himself when hanging on the cross and his eye, the view of his eye spread across the entire universe for eternity unto eternity, and that he saw you and me and us, and he saw your children, and he saw your family, and he saw our family. It is time, my dear people, that all of us have to understand the value of what our purpose is. Our purpose is God. Our purpose is God alone. And everything we do must be only for him. And when you go to the marketplace tomorrow morning to earn your bread, to earn your crop, to raise your crop successfully beginning tomorrow morning, your prayer has to be for the success of what you do, and the blessing of Almighty God is upon your heads and upon the heads of your offspring and your friends and your relatives and your neighbors and whoever. It can only come by way of you, wherever you may be located. That's all. And know that the day that we go out and stand on the street corner, and as they could once upon a time, we can't do that anymore. It doesn't somehow work. So we do that which is even better. In the monastery, in the Holy Rule, it says, when there is someone in the monastery who is just, you know, not quite right, and correction does not help him, and punishment does not help him, and penance does not help him, then let the abbot and the whole community resort to the one thing that never fails: prayer. Correction will not correct our world. Punishment will not correct our world. My dear people, look all around you at the punishment that is all over the place. Every time you turn around, look at what happened just the other day. We make a big to-do about it while it's going on, but then we forget it. Look at the countless numbers of people that every day are being slaughtered needlessly by evil. It's every place, every place. Once upon a time, there was a play called Every Man, and we made reference to this once upon a time. Somebody ought to write a play today and call it Every Place. My dear people, It is prayer alone. Preaching gets nothing done. Teaching gets nothing done today. Debating gets nothing done today. Argument gets nothing done today. Then is our case hopeless? There are those that say that it is. If I myself, personally, consider the situation hopeless, I would not be standing here right now. If I love God, if I trust in God, if I believe in God, I will have hope. And I say the same to you, that you must have hope. And you must, the foundation of this hope, my beloved people, has to be your prayer. All day long, in the marketplace, washing dishes, ironing, washing clothes, painting, whatever it is you have to do in a day's labor, mothers and fathers and children, that is your prayer. All you have to do, I've told you this before, all you have to do is to simply in your own mind say, Dear God, I do this for you. That's all. Nothing more. And that intention goes with you all day long. In sickness and in health. In life and in death. That goes with you. And then the charity of God will fill your hearts and your minds and your souls. And when you go home in the evening, on Rogation Day, or whatever day, you can look back, and as you ask yourself the question, which we always ask ourselves each day, what have I accomplished today? And you can say with safety, I turned the marketplace into a place of beauty. My dear people, we have to pray also for ourselves, be given the virtue of stability. Today, everybody is destabilized, and we have to work to stabilize ourselves in all areas. Our prayer has to be stable. Our humility has to be stable. Our faith, our religion, our hope, our church has to be stable. That's why everything is in a hullabaloo. As I said once before, so many of you, unfortunately, the younger ones of you, all you have ever known in this life of yours, and all you have ever seen in this life of yours, is rubble. Rubble. And you have come, we have come to accept rubble as normal. Rubble is not normal. But if that's all you have ever seen, then you would say, well, then this is life. And I must adjust myself to this life of destruction and rubble and deceit and hate and killing and everything that goes with it. My beloved people, that is not life. That has nothing to do with life. That's death in every respect. And so as we call out and cry out to the shepherd this morning, to the one who truly loves us, he knows us. May I read that again as I conclude. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But the hireling, who is not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches and scatters the sheep, but the hireling flees because he is a hireling and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep, and other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd.